and to ignore that would have been to lose touch with Veskagan entirely, and he must not do that, not if he is to finish. That song is the only thread he has, the trail of breadcrumbs he must follow if he is ever to emerge from this bewildering forest of plot he has planted, and... Are you sure you planted it? Well, no. In fact, he is not. So call for the men in the white coats. And are you completely sure Jake wasn't there that day? After all, how much of the damned accident do you actually remember? Not much. He remembers seeing the top of Brian Smith's van appear over the horizon, and realizing it's not on the road where it should be, but on the soft shoulder. After that, he remembers Smith sitting on a rock wall looking down at him and telling him that his leg was broken at least 6 places, maybe 7. But between these two memories, the one of the approach and the one of the immediate aftermath, the film of his memory has been burned red. Or almost red. But sometimes in the night, when he awakes from dreams he can't quite remember, sometimes there are, well, sometimes there are voices. He says, "Why don't you just say it?" And then laughing, "I guess I just did." He hears the approaching click of toenails down the hall, and Marlowe pokes his long nose into the office. He's a Welsh corgi, with short legs and big ears, and a pretty old guy now with his own aches and pains, not to mention the eye he lost to cancer the previous year. The vet said he probably wouldn't make it back from that one, but he did. What a good guy, what a tough guy. And when he raises his head from his necessarily low perspective to look at the writer, he's wearing his old fiendish grin. "How's it going, Bubba?" that look seems to say. "Getting any good words today? How do you?"